You are listening to LDS and Loving Life, episode 50, Your Catastrophic Brain.
Are you a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and sometimes feel overburdened, discouraged, and generally not as happy as you'd like to be? If so, welcome. I'm Jordana Thiessen. I am a lifelong member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and a certified life coach. I am here to help you use the gospel in the way that I believe it is meant to be used, to bring you joy. Let go of limiting beliefs that bring you down, and welcome empowering beliefs that lift you up. I'm so excited you're here.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's podcast. I hope that you're enjoying it, and I would really love it if you would rate it, and if you would leave reviews and share it with others. That would really help to help more people hear it. And I am pretty excited about it. And here I am, episode 50, halfway to 100. Hooray! So I am just having a little celebration about that and couldn't do it without you. So thank you. All right, today talking about the brain and some interesting things. So we have been designed to stay alive. All living creatures have been designed this way. And this is a good thing because then we look after ourselves, our children, and other people around us. And it's our drive to stay alive that helps us focus and keep an eye open for danger while driving. It's our drive to stay alive that automobile makers began installing seatbelts and that became law to wear them. So there's just a couple of examples about why this is a good thing. Hopefully you already felt that it was good that we have this desire to stay alive. When you think about activities such as driving or sports or any type of work that has inherent dangers in it, it can be really easy to see how important it is and what a blessing it is to have a brain that is hardwired to look for danger in order to keep you alive. And then this is even more true, I feel like, when looking at very extreme situations, such as natural disasters or being around dangerous people. No one's going to fault someone in a war-torn country for literally fearing for their lives and doing all that they can to stay alive. But what we don't always realize, and what I had never really considered before learning about life coaching and how my brain works, is that in every situation in my life, my brain is literally trying to keep me alive. It cannot tell the difference between something that is truly a danger and something that is just like an unwanted feeling or emotion. I took some classes while a student at BYU Idaho that first taught me about brains looking out for death, even though death wasn't really the danger. Those classes were animal handling and behaviors and advanced animal handling and behaviors. Maybe not what you thought I was going to say. The first class, animal handling and behaviors, was focused primarily on working with livestock animals such as cattle and sheep. The advanced class was working solely with horses. It was kind of like animal psychology, and I really loved it. Hopefully, none of you feel offended by me making some little analogies between animals and humans. I don't think it's a bad thing, but if you're not a fan of it, that's okay. So if any of you are familiar with horses, you know that horses can get spooked by things pretty easily. And sometimes it's kind of fun to laugh about what those things are that they'll spook at. They'll spook at things like a bucket, a tarp, a shadow, or something that we can't even figure out what it is. As far as we know, they're just looking at the corner. When a horse spooks, their reaction can be anything from freezing and staring at whatever the thing is, letting out some loud snorts, to doing a really quick, really sudden jump away, and maybe even with some kicking and some rearing in there. I knew that horses had a different type of vision than humans, or that they do have, sorry, and that things like colors aren't the same for them. But something my instructor told us really made a difference for me. He said, "Horses aren't afraid of getting hurt. They are afraid of dying." Horses aren't afraid of getting hurt. They are afraid of dying. When a horse spooks at a puddle of water, it's not because it's afraid of getting wet or breaking a leg. It's afraid of dying. When a horse is uncomfortable with a human on its back, it's not because it is scared of the human hurting them. Its brain goes to, there's a mountain lion on my back trying to eat me. That was an example he had shared with us. Having this understanding of how horses think made a difference in how I worked with my horse that I was working with. His name was Buckwheat. Even though I, as a human, could see that there was nothing that was endangering his life, well, like endangering like his safety at all, never mind his life, I could have more understanding and compassion for him when I introduced something new and potentially scary to him. Now, years later, I can tell you, part of your brain and part of my brain is a lot like that horse brain. The lower brain that we have is more animalistic. It's the fight, flight, or freeze brain. This part of our brain is always on the lookout for danger. And that danger is always going to be extreme. Have you ever had a child say or do something that you thought was really rude and completely unacceptable? Have you ever thought to yourself something along the lines of, this child is growing up to be a terrible person if this is how they are acting now? Have you ever made a mistake that caused you to groan and exclaim that this is such an awful thing? Have you gone straight to worst case scenario? Have you been convinced even for a time, even a short moment, that there was no way to fix it and that many people's lives would be negatively affected forever? Have you ever encountered a challenge when there was no obvious way to fix it or overcome it? Have you experienced the weight of despair and hopelessness? Have you ever felt so inadequate and incapable of doing anything good enough or right that you don't know how you ever did it before? You don't know how you were ever happy, and you don't know how you will ever be happy again. These are thoughts and feelings that come from that lower, primitive, animalistic brain. This part of your brain is literally looking for catastrophes. And every time something is not right, it wants to go to worst case scenario. So an example might be, if I let my child have too much screen time, he will have an underdeveloped brain, no social skills, no problem-solving skills, never be able to hold down a job, will live in my house forever, never get married, and I will have to take care of him until the day I die. And then what will happen to him? He won't have the skills to survive. Can you think of a time when you have noticed yourself going down the path of and then, and then, and then, where everything just gets worse and worse? That's just your lower brain trying to anticipate all of the catastrophes so that you don't die and that your loved ones don't die, both physically and spiritually. Because I think as members of the church, we of course still have this drive to physically stay alive, but we look at someone's eternal salvation as being at risk, and that is a catastrophe for us. So our brains are very powerfully programmed to keep us alive. And for many of us, the fight to physically stay alive isn't truly a problem that we are faced with every day. Now, I know that for many, the fight to stay alive is something that they are facing. But I'm going to talk to those of us who really our lives are not in danger on the daily. So for those of us who are safe but still experience those really fearful thoughts and feelings, it's helpful to know that your brain is doing its job. It doesn't actually recognize that shame or embarrassment is not deadly. So for that lower brain, shame and embarrassment is equal to my life is in danger, I'm dying. Okay? So it doesn't recognize that those uncomfortable emotions are not life-threatening. This is why learning how to sit with your emotions, or part of the reason why learning to sit with your emotions is so important, because you are actually reteaching your brain that feeling an emotion is safe. Okay, so if you're feeling fear about something, let yourself experience the sensations of fear and then it will pass. And then you have just taught your brain a little lesson in fear is not dangerous. Does that make sense? If not, let me know. Now, I don't know why, but that part of our brain that loves to make every single thing a catastrophe is really strong. That lower brain is really strong. That is the default setting. That is what will happen. That is where you will go to if you do not take control over your thinking. So unlike the horse I worked with in my class, I and you have upper brains, our higher brains. I like to think of it as that really divine part of our brains that is in the image of God. We can recognize when our brain is spinning into catastrophe mode, and we have the ability to stop it in its tracks. Now, this is also a skill. I think some people maybe just, I don't know, some people seem like they're really good at it. And for some of us, we need to hire someone. We need to hire a life coach to help teach us this. And we need to learn how to do it. And we need to practice. And really, that's true for everyone, right? This is a skill. And so it's important to learn how to do it. So just like I could see that my horse was never in danger, never mind life-threatening danger, I have the ability to see that for myself. And people who are not me can see that even more clearly than I can. And that is why hiring a coach was so impactful for me. She helped me to recognize things that I was believing that really were in that worst-case scenario catastrophe mode. And then she helped me to develop the skills and abilities to move out of it. Our higher brain allows us to notice what we are believing and feeling. So we call that thinking about our thinking, and then to question it from a place of curiosity, compassion, and love. Now, of course, we have the ability to judge what we're thinking and feeling and to belittle ourselves for what we're thinking and feeling. And so that means that we also have the ability to be really compassionate towards ourselves and curious about what we're thinking and feeling. I teach some piano and some voice lessons, and I have some of my students registered for the music festival here, where they'll get the chance to perform and be adjudicated. I'm also on the festival committee. I'm actually the president of it, even though I'm brand new here, but that's how it goes sometimes. So as each musical discipline schedule is made, I and all the other members on the committee receive a copy of the email that shows the schedule. It's not the final copy, right? It's going to get sent to the printer so that then it can be given to the adjudicators and that other people will have the opportunity to purchase the programs. Well, I was looking at an email with the schedule for one of the musical disciplines today before recording this podcast, and I saw that one of my students was scheduled to play a song in a class that one of my other students was scheduled to play in. So that first student that I saw, like, they had the wrong song. I had submitted it incorrectly. I went straight to catastrophe. I was pacing around. I was like, no, over and over again. Things like, how could this happen? Oh, I was imagining how upset the student and mother would be. I was telling myself I shouldn't have made this mistake. And I was feeling like I was really believing it was too late to fix it. It would be awful for everyone. And I was like feeling so much shame towards myself. I'm like, I'm the president of the Music Festival Association. I shouldn't be making this mistake. But at the same time, there's only been one other time in my life that I have ever registered students for a music festival. And my piano teacher that I had growing up, she was there and she helped me to do the registrations. And it was two students. So just a lot of shame and judgment towards myself. So that was my primitive lower brain. It saw a mistake and immediately went to worst case scenario. And it was a really dramatic story in my mind. And physically, it felt horrible. All of the regret, shame, embarrassment, fear, anger towards myself. It was not a fun time. But because I have this amazing higher brain as well, I was able to, after a couple of minutes, to realize that mistakes like this have probably happened before. I could call the coordinator who had made the schedule and simply tell her what had happened. and ask if there's anything that could be done. And guess what? It is not a big deal. Not at all. All of the mistakes like this have happened before. And there's a possibility that it hasn't even been sent off to the printer yet, so they'll be able to change it in the program. And she said, and if it has gone to the printers already, we'll just write it in and let the adjudicator know. Wow. This is not a big deal. It's so okay. So that experience is not extraordinary. It's a really small thing and an everyday type of occurrence. You also have things that happen every day, things that are small, it's not anything that is a big deal, and you can know that. But in the moment, if it's not right, it's really easy to go to catastrophe. So I had to intentionally choose to not stay in that story that my lower brain was giving me, to not stay in that catastrophe. I was able to recognize that there was probably something else that was true. And that is an ability that we all have. Again, it is a skill. It requires practice. It requires someone teaching you at times. It requires someone helping you through it. But it is something that you 100% have the ability to do. Your brain will most often go to catastrophe. Life is in danger. Spiritual life is in danger. But you don't have to stay there. And over time, as you practice recognizing when you are in catastrophe mode, you will be better equipped to get out of it sooner and even avoid going there completely at times. I remember a situation where I was at an elderly friend's house and her husband, who was quite ill and had medications, some pills were out, like kind of in the reach that that my young child could have gotten into. And I think I had seen like a couple that had fallen on the floor, and I had just like picked them up. I didn't even say anything. It didn't even cross my mind that my child could have swallowed this pill, which I can see how, that's maybe not the greatest thing, but also I had kept an eye on him. I knew that he hadn't swallowed one, and so I wasn't worried. But my poor friend, when she realized what had happened after we had gone home, she called me, and she had been and was in this catastrophe mode of what could have happened. And it's not wrong that she was. I think that shows the compassionate, kind person that she is. But just an example, just because the situation was there doesn't mean you have to go to catastrophe mode, right? But we are not going to be perfect at it. So you don't need to be mad at yourself for overreacting or for going to the worst case scenario. You can just know, that's just my brain doing its job, looking out for danger. And I also have an amazing brain that can help me see another way. And if right now that seems really hard or impossible, or you don't know where to start, I'm here for you. Sign up for your one-on-one coaching session, and I'll help you get started. I can help you recognize when you are in that catastrophe mode so that you are better equipped to get out of it. And also how to recognize that catastrophe mode sooner, or when you're headed down that way, so that you have the power to get out of it. So my friends, good things are already in store for you. They are already here. When you are able to take more intentional charge of your life through learning how to manage your thoughts and your emotions, and that your emotions are safe to feel, you are able to receive those good things so much more easily. I promise you. So I'm excited to see you. And again, share this with others. Leave a comment, leave a review, and thanks so much for listening. Have a great week.
Thanks for joining me today. If you found this episode helpful or interesting in any way, I would love for you to share it with others. Rate it and leave a review. I offer one-on-one coaching for people just like you. If you want a coach who values and understands how important your faith is in dealing with your personal struggles, I would love to be your coach. You can sign up for a try it out session today at youarelimitless.ca. See you soon.